But that you may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. Then he said to the sick man, Arise, take up thy bed, and go into thy house. Words taken from today's Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. St. Pio of Pietrelcina is the only priest in church history, as far as I know, that literally bore the wounds of our dearest Lord, the stigmata, upon his hands, his feet, and his side. His special feast day is September 23rd, today. For 50 years, Padre Pio's stigmata, the wounds of Christ upon his flesh, demonstrated to the world the power of the Holy Cross, as well as the meaningfulness of human suffering accepted with loving resignation. When a woman asked Padre Pio if his bleeding wounds hurt, he responded, Do you think the Lord gave me these wounds for decoration? Padre Pio was truly a victim soul who helped save other souls. He was a walking crucifix, and his nightshirt was another shroud of Turin every day. On May 26th, 1887, the day of his natural birth, the young Padre Pio was baptized and was given the name Francis Forgione. And having received that holy sacrament of rebirth, regeneration, and enlightenment, this child became united to Christ supernaturally. He became another light to the world, another adopted child of God the Father in Jesus Christ, and another paschal victim. You know, during the Easter season, as many of you might know, a tall paschal candle burns brightly in the sanctuary for 50 days. And that paschal candle is a symbol of Christ, our Savior, a symbol of God literally come in the flesh. The wax of that paschal candle represents the sacred flesh, the body taken by the Son at the time of his incarnation. The wick that runs through the middle of that candle symbolizes his perfect human soul created by the Holy Ghost. And the flame that is lit represents his true divinity. For Christ is literally the second person of the Holy Trinity, not a human person. And finally, the nails that are driven into the wax of that paschal candle show that our Lord is a suffering servant and a lamb of sacrifice. And during the liturgy, the holy liturgy for Easter Vigil, that paschal candle is first lit from what we call the Easter fire. The church building is in total darkness, and the deacon carries the symbol of Christ, the candle, the light of the world. One then hears the versicle, Lumen Christi, and the response, Deo gratias, light of Christ, thanks be to God. And eventually the candles of the clergy and the lay folk are lit, for all of our light, all of our life comes from Christ. Because Christianity is a share, a participation in the light and life of the Son of God and Son of Mary. And St. Pio had this light. He had been given it in so much so that his mind was the mind of Christ. And he kept that mind pure. In his earliest years, the very sound, even the sound of a dirty word, especially blasphemy, would send him running. He loved decency even when he was playing with others. And yes, as this little boy grew, he would keep the light of Christ by maintaining bodily purity. There is nothing that darkens the conscience of a man more than impurity of body. And this virginal purity within Padre Pio will be kept until his very death. He was always careful with women. When a woman who had just turned 60 years old, a difficult age to reach emotionally, she went to Padre Pio and said, Say something nice to me on my 60th birthday. His response, Death is near. As many of us are aware, to any woman improperly dressed to enter the church or into his confessional especially would bring about the instant rebuke of, Go away now and get dressed. Padre Pio would be ordained in 1910, and the light of Christ within him would grow in intensity. When he did preach, which was rare, He did not do so by means of worldly wisdom and mere human argumentation, but rather with the power of the Holy Ghost. To a woman who questioned the existence of hell, this good Capuchin retorted, "You'll believe it when you get there." For this priest, the sacrament of penance would be his greatest work. He was an apostle of the confessional, even a martyr of the confessional, spending on average 15 hours a day in the box, averaging 120 penitents per day. It is very probable that he heard some 40,000 confessions each year. The light of Christ that shined brightly within him gave this friar the gift of reading hearts, which helped his penitents make a whole and integral confession, not holding anything back. To one woman who had buried in her soul a crime of her younger years, Padre Pio said, "I hear someone crying." "Don't you hear something crying?" "No," the woman stated. The friar continued, "The cry is from the child you had aborted in years past." Convulsed with sobs, the woman left the confessional contrite and at peace with the Most High. And yes, this gift of light made him a good confessor, a true confessor, towards those who abused the sacrament. Denials of absolution and delayed absolution were common judgments made by Padre Pio. To those who gave false confessions and had no contrition, this friar would cry out, "Basta, enough. Leave and come back when you are ready." And for any priest who questioned his actions, he responded, "I do not give sweets to penitents who are in need of a laxative." Even as a teenager, Padre Pio knew that he was a specially chosen son of God with a great mission. At the age of 14 years old, he had an interior revelation of a majestic man, which proved to be our Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord then took Francis Forgione by the hand and showed him a field with two armies. One army was most beautiful and filled with light, while the other army was ugly and dark. Our Lord gave the task of fighting the ugliest foe of all, the most rebellious Lucifer, the fallen angel. That would be Padre Pio's task. And in this interior revelation, little Francis Forgione entered into combat against Lucifer. The combat of the ugly foe was ferocious, but with the help of the Lord, who never left his side, the future friar overcame his adversary, threw him to the ground, and forced the devil to flee. It is said that the good padre prayed on average 15 rosaries per day. Not 15 decades, 15 rosaries per day. He said those wondrous words, "Those who pray the most will be saved. Those who pray little are in great danger. And those who do not pray are certainly lost." But the Mass was his greatest of all prayers. St. Pio would rise every day at 2:30 in the morning. He would prepare for Mass in the sacristy between 5 a.m. and 7 a.m. Then there would be his Mass, often 2 hours in length. It was a Mass offered by Padre Pio that brought about more conversions than any of his extraordinary miracles, including his stigmata. All those hundreds of healings, all those gifts of prophecy, the wounds on his body smelling of perfume, his bilocations, his appearing to pilots in the sky during World War II to stop them from bombing certain religious sites, all this could not compare to the power of just one of his masses. He was an instrument in converting atheists, communists, Freemasons, Jews, and Protestants. And such was his zeal, as St. Pio would often cry out with Moses of old, "Either save these people, God, or blot me out of the book of life." And once, when someone told him about a prophecy about a member of the Franciscan order saving a third of the world for Christ, implying that that friar might be him, St. Pio responded, "What do I want with a third? More, more, I want to bring everyone to the good Lord. At San Giovanni Rotondo, where Padre Pio spent the last 52 years of his life on earth, there are outdoor stations of the cross. And the fifth station of the cross is quite unique there. You see, instead of having the image of Simon of Cyrene helping our Lord to carry the cross, the image is that of Saint Pio of Petrolcina. Remember that that paschal candle also has nails, and that signifies the five glorious wounds of the Son of God and the Son of Mary. Padre Pio was not just an adopted child of God in Christ. He was not just a light to the world. He was a suffering servant. Of course, there are really two ways of witnessing to our dearest Lord. The white martyrdom of a life of generous self-sacrifice, a life of penance, mortification, a shedding of tears, of contrition and compunction, if not a shedding of blood. And then there is the perfection of red martyrdom, with the pouring out of bodily life. In the case of Padre Pio, he truly experienced both in a unique fashion. His religious life included sleeping on a straw mat in a cold friary. He took the discipline, the scourging, three times a week. St. Pio slept only a couple of hours each night, and his diet was not enough even for an infant. And then there was his fevers. One fever occurred in the presence of a Capuchin friar who noticed Padre Pio vomiting. The brother took St. Pio's temperature, and the mercury climbed to 108 degrees before the bulb of the thermometer broke. The same brother then rushed to get a bath thermometer and recorded the padre's fever at more than 125 degrees. The brother then gave him custard to eat. Yet St. Pio could not hold it down, and when it came out of him, the custard was fully baked. The most painful episode of his white martyrdom, the most painful episodes of all, were connected with the abuse he received from other religious priests and bishops. Although unwanted, the famous stigmata of Padre Pio that he received on September 18, 1918, drew him much attention. Also, his great success in regards to the formation of prayer groups and a famous hospital known as the House for the Relief for Suffering. The local ordinary, Archbishop Gagliardi, was an especially cruel and powerful enemy of Padre Pio. This church official falsely accused the padre of financial corruption, being possessed by demons, and even unchastity with women. Faking his stigmata, he said, and using rose-scented perfume upon the wounds. All these charges the archbishop swore to upon his pectoral cross. Yet this same prelate, comes to find out, was utterly corrupt. Not only was he charged with violation of the young, but he supported sodomitical priests. Yet the friar of San Giovanni Rotondo nevertheless suffered at the hands of this ungodly man. From 1923 to 1933, 10 years in length, St. Pio was forced into seclusion. No public masses could be offered, no hearing of confessions, and no direction from his spiritual guidance. But despite all this unjust treatment, Padre Pio's constant refrain was, God's will be done, and sweet is the hand of the Church, even when she strikes, for she is our mother. Padre Pio, early in the pontificate of Paul VI, he stated the following, Padre Pio is a representative of Christ on whom is reprinted the wounds of Christ. Not only would there be a white martyrdom, there would be a red one too. Padre Pio was the consummate victim soul embracing the vocation of vicarious suffering. He accepted willingly regular attacks of demons and bore the brunt of battles with temptations for others. And during Holy Mass, Padre Pio underwent a transformation. He seemingly took on his own physical sufferings at Mass. And at the words of consecration, it seemed as if he were having great difficulty in speaking, "Hoc est corpus meum." And he shouted those words. He hesitated as if he were in great pain. In fact, the pain was almost too great as he tried to reach for the chalice. His muscles twitched and tears rolled down his cheeks. Finally, his red martyrdom reached its climax in September of 1918. Gazing upon a crucifix in prayer, the good padre received a mysterious visitation of the wounded Savior. And soon the very wounds of Christ began to appear on his flesh. These stigmata remained on his body until 1968, a full 50 years, and they would bleed especially during the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. And when the wounds were held up to the light, one could see right through his hands and feet. The stigmata were always fresh. They were never gangrenous, rather they smelled of sweet perfume. Interestingly enough, the wounds immediately left his body at his death. He had carried the cross as a good religious and priest, so now St. Pio would experience victory. Some psychologists and psychiatrists claimed that the stigmata could be explained naturally. It was simply a mental suggestion on the part of the friar that caused such wounds. And when confronted with this explanation, Padre Pio stated, "Go out into a field and find a bull," he said. "Look at the bull. Close your eyes and think about what it would like to be a bull. Then see if you start to grow horns." Certainly, Francis Forgione is a canonized saint. He's certainly one that God has chosen to manifest to the world an extraordinary supernatural phenomenon, including being a walking crucifix for 50 years. But he was also a perfect religious, a wonderful community man. Although his example is extreme, it does remind all of us that we are to love and to embrace the cross as being a special gift fitted just for us, which will be our instrument of salvation. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.